Chapter number one. Good to see all our preaching brethren and be back up north again. And while you're turning, I'd like to give a request. I just called to see how the service went last night, and one of our brothers was on his way to church and got about halfway there. An 11-year-old girl ran out the road and he hit her, and it doesn't look good. So really pray for him. He's a very fine brother. His little boy was with him, and they're just a devastated brother. William Holland sat on the front pew at our church over here with a little boy. I call him, you might remember. So pray for him. I talked to him. His voice was cracking, and he just tore all to pieces. First, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and then prayed before the God of heaven. Then the Bible records his prayer. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Amen. And the Bible says, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. He's still praying. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. And at the conclusion of his prayer, he says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask God to bless for the next few minutes. Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your kindness. Lord, we need your touch. We pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost. Let us say tonight exactly what the Holy Ghost would have us to say. Nothing more and nothing less. God, give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. God, we pray that heaven will touch this service in Christ's name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. There is something recorded in this chapter that the best of my ability in studying they might be, but in the best of my ability is recorded in no other place in the Bible. Amen. You have a man called Nehemiah, which is a very popular Old Testament character, one of my favorites. Amen. Who is in his place of work. He hears of the distress of Jerusalem. It burdens his heart. It makes him very mournful. And the Bible says that he sat down and wept when he heard the words. Amen. Amen. That Hananiah spoke to him. And then the Bible gives us the recorded prayer that he prayed. Amen. And it's in the midst of that prayer that this is found, that as far as I know, is found no other place in the Bible. Yeah. Amen. This Nehemiah, this man of God, amen, in verse 6, he was praying and he opened his prayer and he said, "Let thine ear now be attentive." Amen. He was asking for God's attention. He was asking for heaven's attention. At the close of his prayer, in verse number 11 again, he says, "O Lord," in other words, with more sincerity, with more fervent sincerity, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant." Amen. Twice in one prayer, he asks for God's attention. Amen. Oh, God. You see, amen, Nehemiah came on the scene. This story here is about 100 years past the time of Zerubbabel going back to Jerusalem with 40-some thousand Jews. Amen. It's past the time that God sent Ezra back to restore the temple worship and the priesthood. Amen. And some years later, amen, though they had rebuilt the temple, the walls of Jerusalem were still broken down. And the Bible said that they told Nehemiah that the people were in great affliction. Amen. And they were in great reproach. Amen. And you see, it touched Nehemiah's heart, for Nehemiah had his forefathers buried back in Jerusalem. He had heard of Israel and Jerusalem there as they were non-fortified, no wall around their city, and they was a reproach to themselves. Amen. And it was a mock to all the enemies of Israel. But oh, God, for a man that reaches for heaven's attention. That's what I want to preach over the next 12, 15 minutes, is reaching for heaven's attention. Amen. Oh, God. You see, Nehemiah, it's plain to see that as soon as he heard these words, that the burden struck his heart. Amen. But I want you to notice that he did not go to Jerusalem as quickly as he heard of the distress. He not only got a burden, but he realized that there was the most important thing to do, and that was to get a hold of God's attention. Amen. He knew that he had to have God's favor. He had to have the will of God in his life. He knew that somehow he had to pray, amen, through a hole through heaven, so to speak, and get God on his side. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, Nehemiah was searching. He was looking. Amen. He had a burning on his heart. He had a desire. He had a passion. Amen. But yet he wanted to get God's attention. Amen. There is many young people today that have got a burden to do a lot of things. Burden to missionary. Burden to evangelize. Burden to pastor. Amen. But oh, they haven't prayed that hole through heaven and got God's divine attention, amen, and touched the throne room of God and got God's fire in their soul and divinely breathed on by God. Woo, hallelujah. You see, the Bible specifically says in the first chapter, first verse, that it was in the month of Cheslu that this came about. But in the second chapter, in the first verse, it was in the month of Nisan. Nisan was the springtime. Cheslu was the winter months. There was about 4 months that passed from when Nehemiah first heard of the distress of Jerusalem, then when God gave him the okay to go. Woo! Oh, how many knows God's timing is right, just right? Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, how this man arrests for heaven's attention. You see, there's people in the Bible. Hannah arrests for God's attention. Did she not? She arrests for God's attention with a vow. Amen. She arrests somehow trying to reach, amen, to God and get God's attention. And she done it with a vow. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Zacchaeus tried to reach heaven's attention by climbing a tree. Daniel tried to reach heaven's attention by fasting 21 days. Amen. Somehow trying to pray a hole through heaven and hear from God. Amen. Oh, if we could have men, amen, and young ladies and young men that would pray and get the divine mind of God before they stepped out and done anything. I had a young preacher in the second church I pastored. I've been on my third one now. I'm probably plan on staying there. Amen. I know that's what I plan on right now. Tomorrow might be so different, but for right now. Amen. But anyhow, my heart's there. Anyhow, this young preacher come to me and he said, "Brother Simpson, I feel like going full-time evangelizing." And I said, "You ain't got it." And it didn't set too good with him. Amen. Praise God. And I ain't nobody. I'm just trying to, get out to the Lord. And he come back a week later. And he come to me and said, "Man, I just feel it burning." And he said, I know I don't know anybody, but he said, "I just feel like going." Amen. I said, you know, "I don't think you got it." Amen. He got upset. And he come back a month later. And the same. And 2 months later. "And I don't believe you got it." Amen. Finally, he said, "Man, you're upsetting my wife." I said, "I don't believe you got it. I'm sorry. You're asking my opinion about it." Amen. I said, "You like too many pretty things and too many costly Christmas presents." Amen. It ain't that way. Amen. There'll be times you get low financially. You know what I was trying to get him to do? I was trying to get him to pray and get God's attention. Amen. And get the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Woo! Finally, 3 months went by. He come to me in a very humble way and humility. And he said, "Brother Simpson, I feel like going, and it doesn't really matter how, you know," and very humble now, very humble. We're just real good friends. "Doesn't really matter how." He said, "This is it." And I said, "That's exactly what I've been waiting to hear." Amen. "Is that you say that I know without a shadow of a doubt that it's God's will." That's what Nehemiah was wanting. That's why he prayed twice for God to be attentive to his prayer. He knew he was just one man. He knew what a great task. He knew that the Jews had been already back there 100 years. They hadn't been like Zerubbabel, who said, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit." Amen. They hadn't been like Ezra. Woo! Amen. Who was Nehemiah? He was just a mere man. But Nehemiah knew this one thing, that if he could get God's attention and get God's favor. Woo! Oh, there's a difference when you get God's favor. It makes the world a difference. You see, the Bible tells us in chapter 2 that Nehemiah sought the welfare of Israel. Oh, give us men. You know, it's easy to have a burden. When I evangelized this past time, there were several churches, amen, that was without a pastor. Amen. One in particular was in North Carolina called, it looked very promising, beautiful brick church. Anything I mentioned in the meeting, the deacon meeting, they just willing to roll out the red carpet, so to speak. Just everything was just going. But you know what? It wasn't the will of God. I was there a week and a half and lost 20-some pound. And my wife thought it was the will of God. Praise God, because I lost so much weight. Woo! But I knew that I didn't have God's favor. And I said, "I love you folks. I appreciate your kindness and your kind invitation. But it's not the will of God." Amen. Oh, Nehemiah wanted the perfect
will of God. Nehemiah wanted God's favor. If you'll do anything for God, amen, you must have the favor of Almighty God. Amen. Come on here now. Can you say amen? I said, if you accomplish anything for God, if you're a successful evangelist, if you're a successful pastor, if you're a successful missionary, a successful Sunday school teacher, you must have the favor of Almighty God.
Oh, amen. As a young preacher, I heard Brother Collins say there's two things to be a successful preacher. You must have the favor of God and the favor of brethren. Amen. I took that to heart from the Tate ministry. And oh, God help me to keep the favor of God. Woo! Hallelujah. There was a young lady in the Bible who needed heaven's attention. A wicked young lady. I don't have time to go through all the illustrations and stories. I mean, you could go through many Bible stories, many illustrations, people needing God, trying to reach for God. Amen. There in the book of Luke, chapter 7, you'll find Jesus eating in a house of a sinner. And the Bible tells us of a young lady that walks in the midst of the room. And she stands behind Christ. And the Bible said she kneels down and breaks the alabaster box and anoints his feet and washes his feet with that ointment and with tears streaming down her cheeks and wipes his feet with her hair. Can I tell you, amen, as reading this story, you won't find one word uttered from the lips of this woman. Come on here now. You won't find one word that's uttered from the lips of this woman. But how many would agree she was trying to reach for God's attention? Amen. She came there with an alabaster box. You see, amen, Wilson's type says that when a young lady, amen, came at the age of marriage, that her mother and father would buy her an alabaster box. Amen. And she was to worked and labored with her own hands and placed ointment in this alabaster box. And she was to say this, for this would be the affirmative answer for the young lover that would search her out and ask for her hand and heart in marriage. And if affirmative answer was given, amen, she was to run, not utter nothing with her lips, but she would run back home after the young gentleman would ask for her hand and her heart in marriage. Run back home, get this alabaster box, bring it at this gentleman's feet, and break it at his feet. And it was a sign to him that she had answered in the affirmative and that her search for love was over. Woo! Hallelujah! You see this lady right here, though her reputation had got ugly and bad, it's a sign she was an unmarried woman. But when she heard of Christ being in town, she said, I've got to reach for his attention. And she thought of the alabaster box that was so precious to her. And she went and got it and brought it at the feet of Christ. Oh, woo! He knew what it meant. He knew that she was saying, my search, amen, is over. I have found the love of my life. Oh, can you raise your hand and shout hallelujah? The love of my life is found, and I'll search for another. Did she get God's attention? Come on here and preach with me a little bit. Did she get heaven's attention? Yes. Amen. Her sins was forgiven, though she uttered not a word. I'm trying to preach. Woo! An hour and a half message in 20 minutes. It's pretty hard when you're 400 pounds. But I'm losing. Reaching
for heaven's attention. I must hurry. September 12th, Monday, 1993, Monday morning, 8 o'clock. He's starting a homecoming revival that night with Brother Kenneth Byrd from Richlands, Virginia, where I pastor. 10 years of marriage. I'd never seen my wife sick. Never seen her sick. Never seen her have a headache. I mean, not even a headache. I mean, just besides a common cold. Brother Mike had never seen her sick. Oh, amen. 8 o'clock. We'd stayed out that late that night, Sunday night. About 8 o'clock, I rolled over. And about the time I rolled over, my wife rolled over. And I didn't understand it then. I thought she was having a stroke. I thought she was having a heart attack. I couldn't get her to come to myself. I'll be honest, I got hysterical. Amen. We've been married almost 15 years now. Or going on 16, I can't remember right off. Amen. But anyhow, my children, my young girls come in there and seen me, seen their mama in the condition she was in. And they started weeping and started crying. Oh, God. Amen. We live back in the sticks where I live at, 30 minutes from the nearest town. Amen. And oh, it was an hour, about 20 minutes later, my wife come to herself. Amen. I didn't realize it, Brother Mike, now, then, but I do now. They diagnosed her with epilepsy. Done running her family. Never had no headaches. No kind of anything like that. Your whole world just crumbles. Can I tell you, Brother Mike, I went to reaching for heaven's attention. Oh, I said, I went to reaching for heaven's attention. She done the MRIs. They done all the tests on the brain. Done the CAT scans and all of that. Everything come back normal. Everything come back perfect. And for 3.5 years, Brother Ray Asher, I traveled and preached and told that story. And folks were healed by the power of God. I can remember several instances of people that touched in miracles. Amen. Where we were at. But oh, January the 1st, 1998, I scheduled to be with Brother William Strickler and their Watchtower Revival to preach it. And I couldn't go, count of snow. And January the 1st, my wife was reading my little girls a little bedtime story. And I was laying there. She got done reading that story, walked around the bed and laid in the bed and pulled the cover over, and I reached over and turned off the light. And as soon as I turned off the light, she had another one at her 3.5 years. I mean, it literally tore my heart out. I said, God, I don't understand this. I said, God, I've preached for 3.5 years. Are you hearing me? I'm preaching on reaching for heaven's attention. Oh, reach out! God! Are you up there? Do you care? I called my pastor, Brother Johnny Gabbard. He said, Brother Gabbard, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I must hurry. Done all the tests again. Come back negative ever again. From that time forth, she just continued. Every 6 weeks, almost to the every date. Reaching. A week and a half ago, she had 3 in 1 night. She has the grandma seizures. She's completely out for 1 hour and 20 minutes. And this time, she's lost her memory. She woke up yesterday morning crying. I said, there's a meeting at the highway, so we just gotta go. We gotta go. Reaching. Reaching. Oh God, would you be attentive? Lord, would you lend an ear? I pray, God, can I be like one of my little girls? Sometimes my little girl climb up to my lap, cuff her hands over my ear and whisper. Sometimes I said, God, can I climb up in your lap? Fifteen years of marriage. I sold a truck 3 weeks ago. She can't even remember it. Oh, God. I need God's attention. Anybody here else need God's attention? You come here this meeting. Yes, you did. You come here looking for something. You come here looking for a healing. Then you do it. You come here for a miracle. God, I need your attention. You say, how bad is it? My children don't want to sleep with her. I hear a loud noise. It tears my heart out. I'd be driving down the road. I was in the church van. One of the men in the back was just goofing off and made a big loud noise. My heart, just dropped. I began to weep. They couldn't see me. It was dark. 2 years now. Oh, but I believe God's ear is open unto their cry, and his eyes are over the righteous. Whew. Lift your hands toward heaven and give him the praise. Come on.